Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Wenceslaus, and he might be one of the saints you say, Saint who? Saint Wenceslaus. Let me read this introduction that comes from Magnificat magazine, because it ties into what I was speaking about yesterday, or speaking about in last Friday's program. The son of the Christian Duke Radoslav and a heathen mother, pagan mother, Wenceslaus was born around the year 907 near Prague. He was still a teenager when he wrested the throne from his mother, who was suppressing the church. Wenceslaus was tremendously, solidly Christian, even as a teenager. Think about that. Wenceslaus invited Latin clergy into the country and promoted education in his realm. His policies drew the anger of his brother, who was complicit in Wenceslaus' murder in 929. So he was the king for a period of time, but not very long. Pope Benedict says this: the eternal prince of the Czech people, Wenceslaus, had the courage to prefer the kingdom of heaven to the enticement of worldly power. Even though he knew it could possibly bring his death, he promoted the kingdom of God among his people. He made a choice, brothers and sisters. And you say, yes, but he died. Yes, he died a martyr. He died a martyr. He died for the truth of the faith, killed by his own family. Brothers and sisters, he is, as Pope Benedict says, he is the eternal prince of the Czech people. And how honored he must be in heaven for what he did. Make the right choices. It doesn't mean that you won't have some suffering. You will. Make the right choices, and you will have eternal life in a way that you cannot imagine. The first reading for today is taken from the book of the prophet Zechariah, chapter 8, verses 1 to 8. This word of the Lord of hosts came. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am intensely jealous for Zion, stirred to jealous wrath for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion. I will dwell within Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women, each with staff in hand because of old age, shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem. In other words, there will be peace. The city shall be filled with boys and girls playing in its streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, even if this should seem impossible, in the eyes of the remnant of this people, shall it be in those days be impossible in my eyes also, says the Lord of hosts? Just because you think it's not possible, I don't think it's not possible. Thus says the Lord of hosts, lo, I will rescue my people from the land of the rising sun. And from the land of the setting sun, I will bring them back to dwell within Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God with faithfulness and justice. How true it is through all of human history. God wants to give us so much, and then we misuse it. We use it for our own ends. We get into fights and battles and wars, and we lose what God has given us. And then we cry out to God, oh, please help us, please help us. And God restores us, hoping that we'll learn our lesson. And we don't. We do for a little while, and then again we stray. We want this. We want what I've been talking about yesterday and this past Sunday's readings. We're so taken by power and wealth and prestige and money and possessions. We're so taken by those things, they blind us and deafen us to God. Really, take a look at it in your own life. You know, people can say, oh, well, I don't have wealth, so that doesn't apply to me. It is amazing the things we can cling to, even if we have very little, that we can make them more important than God. So take a look. Be honest with yourself. What are you depending on? What are you leaning on? What are you considering more important than God, His Word, and His kingdom, which He offers to you if you will receive it? Psalm 102, the Lord will build up Zion again and appear in all His glory. God will do for us, brothers and sisters, what we can't do for ourselves. And this psalm records, in a sense, all that God did. He didn't despise the prayer of the destitute. He did not despise it. He regarded it. He heard it. He acted. He's so generous. And then very quickly, even within the same generation, we can forget what God has done and we start straying again and going our own way. That's what's happening now in our country. We want to go our own way and do our own thing. If we don't follow God's law, we're going to meet disaster. It's just that simple. God, in a sense, has to, so that He can save as many as possible. That disaster sometimes is what's needed to wake us up. God doesn't want it, but He does want our eternal salvation, and He will give us every opportunity to repent and return. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 46 to 50, an argument arose among the disciples about which of them was the greatest. Jesus realized the intention of their hearts. They were looking for prestige and power. His disciples, well, I'm the greatest. Well, Jesus said this to me. Well, Jesus promised me this. That. Can you imagine? It's the human condition. So they're arguing among themselves about which of them was the greatest. And Jesus realized the intention of their hearts. They were whispering. Notice, He didn't overhear their words. He knew the intentions of their hearts, as God knows yours, brothers and sisters. Don't ever try to hide your intention. We try to do that humanly. Don't. Give that up, because you're not hiding your intention from God. And God, who sees all, remembers and will answer. Make sure your intentions are right. Jesus realized the intention of their hearts, and He took a child and placed it by His side, and He said to them, "Whoever receives this child in My name receives Me, and whoever receives Me receives the one who sent Me. For the one who is the least among all of you is the one who is the greatest." And then John said in reply, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in Your name. We tried to prevent him because he does not follow in our company." And Jesus said to him, "Here it is again. Do not prevent him, for whoever is not against you is for you." In other words, you can win them over. Brothers and sisters, intention, motivation is essential. It's not just the external acts. We can do marvelous acts for the wrong reasons. And even if the world applauds us, the kingdom of heaven will not applaud us. And we can do the smallest act with the best of intentions, and we receive a crown in heaven for it. God looks at the intentions of the heart. I also want you to notice He speaks about whoever receives a child in My name receives Me. We tend to only look at the adults, the important people, so to speak. But Jesus took into account every single person. Do you? Do you ignore people because they don't give you anything? And you only pay attention to certain people because you think you can get something from them. Instead, be a Christian. Look to the poor, the lonely, the neediest. Look to them, because that's where you will find the Lord, and He will bless you for that. There's a little article in Magnificat magazine written by a Filipino man who is a lay evangelist and a teacher. He's from Manila. And listen to what he writes. "I hold her hand. I hold her hand and stroke her hair gently. Getting enough courage, I steal a kiss from her cheek. And when she finally smiles at me, I think I am one incredibly lucky guy. Tracy is already a young woman, but her head is bent downward. Drool flows through one side of her mouth, and her face is bereft of any expression. She can't speak or move by herself. Every once in a while, someone has to shift the position of her head, her arms, her legs, or else they become painfully sore. Doctors give her medication, but it doesn't kill it. And the hand I hold is small for her age and contorted. Her limbs are terribly thin, twisted, and abnormally short. She has to be strapped in a special wheelchair. She doesn't eat the way you and I do. She's fed through a tube straight attached through her abdomen. Some would call her a vegetable. I wouldn't. Her name is Tracy. And there's one thing she does well, despite all these. Tracy smiles. And her smile takes your breath away. Her smile takes your breath away. You see, she is able to smile when she likes something. It's the only way she communicates. So I playfully rub the back of her neck and whisper to her ear, "Tracy, do you like this? Smile if you do." And she does, and it's so sweet. You'd fall in love with her right there. I wipe her saliva with her bib, which is now soaking wet. I continue to hold her hand for the rest of the day. And I go home with tears in my eyes. The next morning, I visit her again. I can't get away. Yes, I know the past days were the most unproductive of days of my life. No articles were written. No songs were composed. No meetings have been held. No books have been read. No plans designed. All I did was hold her hand and allowed myself to be loved by a smile. But oh, the peace I felt, and I realize why. I was being deeply transformed by the power of this girl, the one who couldn't even move a finger. Tracy was training my soul to love well. She was training me to love one person, one face, one heart at a time. And she was training me to find love in the most unexpected places. Even her memory speaks to me, asking me to slow down if I want to really love. I picture her in my mind, and she smiles. She tells me that I always have a choice, that I can make life beautiful. That's a meditation, brothers and sisters. How many people who are crippled or affected in some way, how many people do we ignore? How many people are we uncomfortable with, and so we turn away? Look at what that man found when he spent time with her. It changed his life. Why? Because God is present in every human being, no matter the external deformity. Don't be blind. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.